Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control Talk Now, your source for control news you can use. And now, here is Eric.
Hi, and welcome to Control Talk Now for the week ending April 26, 2015. My name is Eric Stromquist. I am your host for Control Talk Now, the smart buildings videocast and podcast. I am joined, as usual, by my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, big dog.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be here, man. Well, listen, you had a long drive. Kenny and I were both down at the CGNA event last week in Savannah, Georgia. Kenny, you drove back all night to get back last night, so you got to be a little bit tired, huh, buddy?
A little bit. I'll tell you, that Monster power drinks and Red Bull, this stuff really works. Keeps you alert and moving.
Well, it does. It does. Well, Savannah, Georgia, beautiful place. For our listeners who might not know, CGNA Controls Group North America is a group that Kenny and his brother David's company, DMS Controls, and Stromquist and Company are members of. We're joined by 42 other distributors, the top distributors in the world. It's just a fantastic organization. Also, CGNA has several top preferred vendors, people like Honeywell Controls, Schneider Electric, Siemens. The list goes on and on and on. We meet twice a year, the spring meeting. The vendors come together with us, and Kenny, the group is really all about how can we be better, sort of the concept of synergy working together. And when you get around some of the top distributors and top vendors in the marketplace, you sit down, we tackle problems together, we talk about things, we share best practices, and I think it makes us all a lot better. What do you think?
Well, I sure do. There was two key words, like you said, synergy and elite status. It was great to be down there amongst 42 of the top distributors in the country, and then 54 vendors, I think, are the total vendor number. But, CGNA is all about unified buying power, strategic marketing, training and education, progressive technologies, and industry networking. I think the key on that is industry networking, because you really get a chance in 2.5 days to mingle with the top distributors and top vendors in our business.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think they take on themes that, you know, the common problems that are facing the industry, or the challenges, or the shifting tides, if you will, on control trends. We're always talking about how things are changing. And you get a group of like-minded people together with the same vision. And I think at the end of the day, the vision really is to provide the best products and services to the end users out in the marketplace. And as Ken and I are fond of saying, there are a lot of good distributors out there, but if you go with a CGNA distributor, we can guarantee that those guys are going to give you the best products, best pricing, and best service. You can find those guys at cgnacontrols.net. But Kenny, I tell you what, we covered the show down there, the product show. We got a lot of videos we'll be posting with several of the different vendors down there. Lots of new products, lots of show specials. But I tell you what, why don't we just bring, we had a chance to sit down and talk with Mike Sackett and Jim Heyman, who run CGNA for the group, and we had a chance to talk with those guys for a few minutes. What do you say we hear from them?
Sounds good.
Eric Stromquist here at the CGNA Vendor Showcase. I am here with two of the people that make this happen, Mike Sackett and Jim Heyman from CGNA. I tell you what, Ken Smyers, the man, the myth, the legend, and myself talk about CGNA and CGNA distributors all the time. It's a great group of individuals. These guys make it happen. Hey guys, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to us.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So, for our listeners who might not know, they're tired of hearing Ken and myself talk about, tell our listeners out there a little bit about CGNA and why CGNA distributors might be a cut above.
Well, CGNA is made up of 44 independent wholesale distributors and concentrate in the controls industry. They do a marvelous job that we consider the best of the best in the industry, and they come out to these events year after year, put on a great show. They participate. The class act from top to bottom.
Yeah, we have a special theme this year. What's the theme this year, guys?
The theme is pursuing excellence. We have a group of people that are we would consider the elite of the industry, and they prove it day in and day out in the way they conduct their business, the way they come out to an event like this and support and work with some of the top manufacturers in the industry. I mean, we're privileged to work with a group of true professionals.
Well, we are. Jim, talk a little bit about, I mean, it's a pretty high bar to get in CGNA. When you talk about CGNA distributors,
yeah.
Talk a little bit about some of the rigor you guys do, you know, checking people out to make sure we get the best of the best.
Well, Mike used the term elite. Not everybody is a good fit for CGNA. Mike mentioned the manufacturers. We have 57 preferred vendors, and these are the top controls manufacturers in the industry. And there's a very extensive vetting process for prospective new preferred vendors and for prospective new member distributors. And when they come in, we know they're a good fit. We call this conference that you guys are at, and we're very glad you're here, we call it our Synergy Conference. That's not just a clever name. There's an unbelievable fit between the members themselves, member to member, and the members and the preferred vendors. And this, I think you might not have mentioned it, this is our 33rd year. CGNA is not a new organization. We've been around a long time, and we're getting good reviews. We think it's getting better.
And I think what this means for our control trends community out there, you know, Ken and I, we're always reviewing products and stuff like that. CGNA distributors are the creme de la creme, as well as the manufacturers. So we can't speak for other distributors out there. There are a lot of good distributors, but hey, if you go to CGNA, a CGNA distributor, we can guarantee you're going to get the best service, best products, best value, best pricing, because we come together, we make it happen. And to find that list, you go to cgnacontrols.net. You can see what CGNA is all about.
Correct.
And you can click on the distributors to find the CGNA distributor in your area. And I tell you what, I used to think that synergy was what happens when you have two kids and you find out 1 + 1 does not equal 2, it equals a bunch. But you come to this conference and see how it applies to business.
That's right.
So, guys, great job with the conference, man. Really appreciate it. Anything else
Thank you,
Eric. Before you hop off?
Thank you.
We appreciate Control Trends. Thank you for this opportunity. And we see your company as becoming a significant force in the industry, and we're very glad somebody is representing Controls. So thank you to you gentlemen.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate
it, guys. All right, okay. CGNAcontrols.net. Check them out.
The elite, remember that. Thank you.
Well, there you go, Kenny. That's Mike Sackett, Jim Heyman from CGNA. Thanks, guys, we appreciate that. So Kenny, I tell you what, lots more to come from CGNA. And what do you say we get with the week that was? What did we have up first last week, big dog?
All right, Eric, look, it was kind of a thin week because we were traveling so much, but we still had tremendous news going on. The first was in conjunction with the Open for Innovation 4 that occurred in London, ended the 21st of April. Nino DeCosmo was our first post. Nino won the 2014 Control Trends Executive of the Year for the large manufacturer. The Control Trends community recognized Nino for his successful leadership of Tritium in the development of the Niagara Framework, which is the leading open framework for innovation used by businesses the world over. There's over 500,000 instances of Niagara, and Nino and his team are leading the charge that are developing solutions for data centers, industrial operations, and smart cities. So once again, congratulations to Nino DeCosmo of Tritium.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Nino and the rest of the team at Niagara. And I guess, Kenny, they're all over in London, England right now, I guess doing their European conference.
Well, they're back now. I've already read some comments on it. People that the sponsors that were there are already announcing the successful meeting. But they're all making their way back, and it's back to the States and
back into USSA, right?
Yeah, back to the grind. Yeah. So, but I'm sure it was an amazingly intense meeting of, and again, Europe and South well, Africa in general. This is in the Middle East. I forget how they do it. They call it West Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. So there's a name for that, an acronym, and this is their meeting. This was their opportunity. And they rolled out Niagara 4, and we all know that Niagara 4 is going to be a dimension up in terms of the framework, the improvements they made with security, with the visualization, with the dashboards, the energy dashboards. So everybody was real anxious to see it, and those folks got a chance to look at it first.
Well, good news. Kenny, any news on Niagara 4? I heard there was going to be an announcement there, but I haven't seen anything posted on it.
I think what they're doing is they're moving that real slow because, as you know, this is a great leap forward. This is taking everything up HTML5. I mean, everything's got to work. And I think the critical implementation requires a much longer fermentation and resolution of any issues so that when it comes out, it's the top, it's what everybody expects. So I think what they're doing is they're moving real slow, and I don't think we have a firm answer, But I know that they have beta testing going on through OEMs, and they're going to enlarge that to 77 more beta sites. So I think probably third quarter 2015 would be my guess.
One of my teachers, Marshall Thurber, used to say the slow road becomes the fast road. He based that on something Abraham Lincoln said, which is, I don't always walk fast, but I don't have to back up, you know? So I think getting it right is something that people will really, really appreciate. I know everybody's excited about it, Kenny, but I think they're really hoping that they get it right. So I appreciate that sentiment.
Well, I think they're torn between the being timely, but not being overly ambitious. So I think it's a real smooth road to take it. And like I say, Nino's a very serious leader, and I'm sure everything has to be just right before he's going to set that. And they're still working on some of the other bugs. We talked to Scotty Cochran and some of the other guys down at the CGNA meeting, for instance, and we're trying to find out. You know, everybody's asking. The recertification, if it's going to be on web, you're going to have to be attendance in school. So these are the answers that still haven't been released officially from Tritium, and everybody's very, very interested to know.
Well, I tell you, Kenny, let's just alert the community to something right now that we picked up on, which is there is a serious lack of certified Tritium trainers out there. And I mention that basically because it is hard for distributors to get trainers booked. I mean, we got Vern Peterson's the guy we use. We got him booked way out, I think through 2016, 2017. But in talking to some of the other distributors, it is difficult. So if you're an integrator out there and you're thinking about getting signed up for a class, don't wait. Sign up as soon as you can. This is not something you want to hesitate on because there is such a demand for that training, and there's not much of a supply of I mean, they're great teachers, don't get me wrong. The teachers are fantastic. There's just not enough of them for the demand right now. And then on top of that, there's a whole sort of debate. We're going to wait and see what happens with the training on Niagara 4, what's going to be required there. So getting trained is going to be, I think, one of the things we're going to be watching a lot of. And we're hoping maybe we can help out that some county with some of the live streaming we do and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if video training will become a part of that as we go forward.
To a certain extent, I think the Niagara Egg certification is it's one of the more difficult, challenging certifications because you can't let somebody get behind the steering wheel of such a powerful framework. And so there's a deliberate challenging certification required for AX. And so that's one version of the training that has to be met. The requirements have to be met on an ongoing basis. As new people come into the industry need that training, they get scheduled to go down either to Tritium in Virginia or Stromquist or Cochrane, Controlco or MOV. So there's, but in addition to that requirement, the Niagara 4 is going to require additional training. So it's going to be one plus. It's going to have the AX plus the Niagara 4 added training. So that makes it a little more. But as you said, we were told that they're booked out to the fourth quarter of 2015, and already Vern, MOV, and some other people are taking dates for 2016. So certainly, if anybody has great ideas, I'm sure it's time to bring it out. We heard some things at CGNA that some possible solutions. But web-based training is going to be tough for the AX certification.
I agree. So, I agree because you got to put your hands on it and work with it.
Exactly.
But I tell you, Kenny, one of the products, and we shot a video on this, and we'll be posting it a little bit later on. But one of the products I think has a lot of promise was this product called Prolon, which is a zoning system. And I tell you what, I like that product a lot because as we've talked about on previous episodes, there's such a huge market for the smaller buildings where the bigger systems are just too expensive or too complex, and there's so many contractors, service-based contractors that service these customers. And this Prolon product, and I'm speaking specifically now to the service contractors that watch Control Trends and listen to Control Trends, that do a lot of service work. There's a system for you guys, which is this Prolon system. And basically, you don't need a computer to set it up. You can set it up with a computer if you want to. But it's really set up, Kenny, for the guy that does not want to be a systems integrator but wants to be able to offer his customer a level of control that you're just not going to get out of thermostats.
Well, that was another prevalent theme at the Controls Group North America meeting, was that Siemens introduced their RDY 2000, which is a heavy-duty commercial thermostat capable of doing small controllers work. We saw Honeywell announce that they're going into a phase one of another LCBS or a form of that.
Light building automation control, right?
Right.
Which to put that in perspective real quick, that was when Kenny and I first got into business way before the JASIS came out, Niagara came up and came out in the big system. That's what we sold. I mean, we started with the light building commercial system, and what a great system it was. I mean, that was just a really powerful system. So it's encouraging to see that those guys are going to revamp that and bring it along. But Jay, getting back to it, KMC's got a system that we've talked about on the show in the past, and Siemens, and with the thermostat. And you've had quite an application with that thermostat. Let's break that down real quick for the community.
Well, there's 72 opportunities to basically menu-driven, so it's easy, it's intuitive, but it gives you 72 parameters in which you can set the high-low set points, timing. You could take a CO2 input, so there's terminals for that. You could do outside air. So this one touchpad screen gives you so many different opportunities. You could do humidification, dehumidification. You could do heating and cooling. It's a full-blown commercial thermostat, and the CGNA opportunities were that they got a special pricing going on.
Yeah, they do through June 1st.
It's amazing that they're going to really compete with the Ecobees, because it's a commercial thermostat that can be used for any applications beneath commercial. So they kind of max it out almost like at a controller level, but it can certainly handle any residential applications. It can do heat pumps. It can do it all. And it also takes inputs. So like I say, it's kind of like a room controller versus a thermostat. So, but it has a traditional profile of a thermostat. So it's got that real friendly
interface. It does, Kenny. And I think now until June 1st, you can get one of those for less than $200. But the thing that impressed me about it, I know you had an application where you needed to do dehumidification. The guy didn't want to go with a full board system. You scoured high and low. You and I think your brother David scoured high and low to find, he wanted everything on board with the stat, and Siemens had this. Everything's on board. You don't have to add any
modules
or anything, right? So it's all on board.
Well, what you're saying was the humidification sensor was on board.
Yeah.
It gave you a choice for remote or local humidification. So the gentleman that I had, he was working with, I mean, the contractor, he's a developer, he had basically a retirement community, and this was high scale, upper scale applications, and they wanted the best of all worlds. So he was familiar with Nest. He was familiar with Honeywell's, the four or five thermostats that Honeywell's had or offers that would meet that application. He had Ecobee. This guy, we started out with like 12 choices and kept narrowing them down based on the features he wanted, and the ones that didn't have it kind of paired away from the group there. So it came down to like three thermostats, and Honeywell was one of them, but they didn't have all the onboard components, which he had different, his cost of installation would have been higher. In his opinion, he didn't want to have an outside air sensor and a humidity sensor as a component. He wanted one stat with all the features and benefits on it. And as it turned out, and he also needed heating and air, he needed heating and cooling to possibly run at the same time, or dehumidification, because what happened was he had these vaulted ceilings. So it's really upper scale, nice places, and it's all designed architecturally very pleasing. But anybody in the business, so that it might look pretty, but they're hard to keep people happy with, and it's hard to keep moisture and mildew off the high ceilings. And so he wanted to have a humidification set point, but he did not want an additional sensor. He wanted it on board. So it makes one installation, one thermostat. And like I say, Siemens designed it, so it's very familiar. So people put the thermostats in. This is not a hard solution. This is basic.
Yeah, again, that theme of people really addressing the contractor that has a lot of clients that needs to solve control problems. And I thought that was great. Now, the other big announcement that Siemens made, Kenny, which really blew me away, they're also offering their communicating sensors and thermostats through distribution. Let me put this in perspective. This is the thermostat and sensor that's on all the Siemens automation control system. Now, we can't sell the automation controls, but you will be able to get your sensors through your local CGNA distributor. So that's going to be a huge piece. So if you have Siemens in your building, reach out to your CGNA distributors. You'll be able to buy those sensors from them as well. Siemens has some great sensors, Kenny. They really do. I mean, they're very aesthetically pleasing. So Siemens is on the move, big dog.
I mean, you're talking about major departure from proprietary aftermarket sales through distributors now. I think Siemens has a theme that we're going to have later on in the week where there's 10 things new about Siemens that you need to know. And one of them was that they're availing a lot more of their product line through distribution, two-step distribution. Two, and not only is it just the sensors that used to go with the things we couldn't sell but wanted to, they also released their room pressure monitors. They also released a new VFD, the BT300 series. So they're making these products available that used to just come through the direct channel to their local branches. So for us, that gives us more competitive products, more opportunities to sell, more customer touch points that we can go into a school district or one of these multi or distributed environments that have different control systems in them. Johnson and Honeywell have always been in our corner, and Siemens kind of wasn't. But now I think they've made a strategic decision to get into two-step a little bit deeper. So their commercial components were always available. They always had a real strong pneumatic line. But now these different commercial components that enlarge our offering to the customers give us a better opportunity to sell more things to more people.
I think it's really amazing. So Siemens is on the move. The other product, Kenny and I filmed a lot of these product videos at the vendor showcase. So we'll be posting those, getting those posted up. But the other vendor that really impressed me, Kenny, a lot was Dent Instruments with their energy monitoring stuff. That was pretty impressive too, wasn't it?
Well, sure is. You're looking at an extremely well-engineered product that that other people will say, if we can't beat them, let's buy them. Because Dent now, you'll see that footprint will become more and more familiar as more and more people sell energy meters. But again, they take something that used to be one-size-fits-all applications, and it was a very large, expensive meter, used to be the go-to meter. And then you had some severe competitions from maybe like a Varis. Honeywell bought
Eman Demon.
And they stratified the market, gave you some choices. Then we had some, they weren't really energy meters, they were energy transducers. So you had a couple companies that out west that sold solution, but they weren't true revenue grade meters. This Dent meter gives you three or four choices, but they're all revenue grade meters. So that means that you can, their results are quality oriented, that the utilities have to recognize and accept their quality. So some of the meters that we've actually had in the past, they were kind of questionable because they were so minimally based. And so you couldn't use the energy information as valid. Well, these are revenue grade meters. So it's very, very well engineered. I've said, you get it with or without display, you can get it up to 4,000 amps. You're talking having a range of going into large commercial or mush market application down to a residential application, and having that kind of a portfolio where you can get what you want. So instead of buying a square meter to fit in a round peg application, you can buy the one that fits your application. And that really gives, again, that gives contractors and distributors much more footprint opportunities. We can go into any, and the cool thing about selling meters is that you can't begin to help somebody until you measure what you're doing.
It's so true, Kenny. As a matter of fact, I just saw on LinkedIn, the city of Atlanta, and I knew this was coming, just passed a law that if you've got a commercial building in Atlanta, you have to report your energy usage. You have to make it available. So it could be a big opportunity for Dent, Eman Demon, and some of the other people. So we're going to get all over that. But it's huge. You can't control what you can't measure. So that's cool. The other one, I mean, there were so many great vendors in CGNA, but the other one, it was a new vendor at CGNA that just started. We've talked about them before, as Blue Ridge Technologies, and we got some videos on those guys we'll be posting too. But what's your first take on Blue Ridge and the lighting control?
Well, I'll tell you what. That's one of the fun things about doing working with you and doing the control trends and really getting to see the behind the lines version of things, in preparation for some of those we do. These guys have really got incredible backgrounds. I think the most important thing to me is that when you're working with somebody that you're just developing a relationship with is their experience level. And Bill Duckelberry, help me out with that last name. What's his last name?
Bill Duckelberg.
Started out at the ground level. He started the warehouse, pushing brooms and stocking shelves, and he went all the way up to having his own company. So he worked 20 years in as an electrician, as a controls specialist. He knows the inside out. He actually designed products that are designed for contractors that have to do this work. And one of them, the most basic unit he showed us was incredible because it had the integrator side and had the electrician side. And he made it, he designed that control specifically to be easy to install and service. And it had flexibility. I mean, so well thought out. I mean, so I think they're going to do real good. First of all, let me just say we're going to try to get involved in their products up in our areas because we don't have a completely seamless lighting solution. And this Watchstopper had a good one, but they didn't really have this, and they had a, you know, the channel conflicts and things. But this is coming through two-step distribution. These guys really know what they're doing. They provide great training and expertise. They have great video support, technical support. The guy loves his product. He's passionate, and the darn thing works. And it's very well priced.
So well said, Kenny. I think you're right. And you know, we're gonna talk a little about this theme as we go on. But you know, the theme of people that are really passionate about what they do. And Bill, I think what makes him really unique was he worked for ALC for so many years. He has that background. So when he designed these products, he's designing it from the mentality of an integrator, a controls integrator that had to integrate lighting in the past. So it's really well thought out. And Bill, I think it is going to come on and do a show for us, a lighting show, which may be a monthly thing, kind of like we're doing with Sierra Monitor. So Bill, I think, is going to do all things lighting, or is he lighting it, or as he likes to say, we're not in the lighting business, we're in the darkening business. So, but great guy, very knowledgeable guy, very smart guy. So you'll see him, like I said, we videoed him doing a product demo at the CGNA vendor showcase. So just another great vendor. I could go on and on about this, Kenny, but I think if we do, we'll be here all day. What do you say we roll on and hit our next post that was on Control Trends last week?
Well, it was the prestigious 2014 PTOC Award goes to the Intelligent Buildings, Tom Shercliffe and Bob Murchison. And again, two well-deserving veterans in the industry who have always been out front, always been hosting things, always been educating people, very successful business people. They have a global, he was telling us about some of the projects that they have, not just in North America, but over in the Middle East and around the world. So, I mean, they're very, very well seasoned veterans, but they have a passion too. We met them very close up in RealCon, did an interview where they explained how integration is such a long story. You have to tell a story, but if you tell the story in a certain way and people don't understand the dialogue and they don't get committed, you wind up talking to two or three people in an organization where you need all eight people from all eight organizations. You need the whole C-suite plus the facility managers, plus the IT department. They all have to be part of the dialogue. And I haven't seen a better presentation, or this is one of the best presentations I've ever seen what these guys do. But these guys have been around for so many years that when Mr. Mark Petock announced these guys, it was kind of a pleasant surprise. But because they finally got some recognition for all the work that they do that they don't get paid for, all the they cultivate. Obviously, some of it's self-serving. If you're working in the business, you want to make sure you know what you're talking about. But they give away a lot of information because if you look at Control Trends, we might have three or four posts where they gave us corporate information. They shared their mind share of how you go about selling people upgrades and renovations and new projects. Each one is a different animal to skin. And you always start out small in terms of modular, and you never put in something that you can't integrate more to it. And you must have a dialogue. You must translate all the technologies so that everybody in that decision process understands it. So congratulations to Tom Shercliffe and Bob Murchison.
Yeah, Kenny, I want to weigh in on that. So there are a couple of levels. This is, let's start with Mark Petock, because Mark has been such a help to us as well as other people in the industry. And when we asked, we created an award, we call it the PTOC Award, and we wanted it to be named in honor of Mark PTOC, because Mark is such a giver. Mark is the guy that, he's a fierce competitor, but at the same time, maybe you're down, he's going to reach down and give you a hand up. He tries to make the industry better. He shares. He's an all-around good guy. And so we asked Mark to create this award to recognize people that sort of share that value. In other words, it's, you got some people and they're fierce competitors and they really don't care about anybody else. They don't care about making anything better. They just, it's all about them. And that's not what the PTOC Award is about. So first I want to acknowledge Mark PTOC, because Mark sort of epitomizes these qualities. And so Mark again selected Tom and Bob this year for the award. And I can't think of two more deserving individuals. These guys give a lot. And in the networked economy, as my teacher Marshall Thurber said, in the networked economy, the rules are a little bit different. Givers get. And these guys are a great example of that. And I tell you, if you're going to undergo a major project where you are getting ready to change your culture to do energy savings, these guys specialize in aligning your organization. They're very articulate. They're very, very bright. They've been super nice to us, Kenny. I mean, every time we run into them, they're super good guys. So I couldn't be happier that Mark picked them this year. Those are great guys and very, very deserving. So congratulations to Tom and Bob. And hopefully we can get them on the show. They've been talking about maybe coming on and doing an interview with us. I'd love to get those guys on. So hopefully we'll be able to introduce them to the Control Trends community. But until then, look at the video. It's Mark explains a little bit about the award and does a great job with it. And you get to see Tom and Bob, two great guys.
They sure are, Eric. And then that kind of leads on to the next post we had. It's kind of a repost from Joe at Contemporary Controls. As everyone knows or should know, Contemporary Controls celebrated their 40th anniversary in this business. And they've come up with a post called Looking Back, Reflecting Back on 40 Years of Business. George Thomas was recognized and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame for Control Trends. And I think what he now is doing is he really gets what we were trying to accomplish was recognize some of the stalwarts in the industry that year in and year out helped to develop what we now refer to as building automation systems and industry. And, Contemporary Controls are experts on the network. They came up with some of the solution products that as applications started to dictate expertise being directed at networking and taking different network protocols and making them all come into the front end and talk, Contemporary Controls led that charge for many years. This is a look over to Europe. This is a gentleman who also was in that 40-year march to progress in our industry. His name is George Turnbull, and he was one of the strong visionaries in the control industry from Europe. In fact, he's from the UK. And if you go to our website, you'll be able to take the URL right to Contemporary Controls because it's a great article. It's a great bio of somebody that really, truly was a standout performer and something that people take for granted. I mean, I love the fact that we all meet together at like the Controls Group North America because people don't realize, number one, I'd hate to make that payroll. Two, that these people take the hardest applications out there, the hospitals, the universities, and whatever, and just like ESI, they systems integrate this stuff so it makes it look easy. I mean, these hotels we stay at, for instance, with the Siemens sensors on the wall, and when somebody's unhappy in there, I mean, you got to be able to pick up a phone or get a hold of somebody, and they need to go look at what's wrong, diagnose it, and correct it. And all that heavy lifting behind the curtains are being done by these guys that are they're coming into the autumn seasons of their careers. They're looking back, and I'll tell you what, they accomplished so much. So please visit that post. His name's George Turnbull. He was from Eurotherm Group, and just his accolades are two pages long. So great post.
Really, really good stuff, Kenny. And I tell you, again, you know, passion. George Thomas, we're big George Thomas fans. I mean, he's a giver. He is passionate. And speaking of passion, Kenny, let's bring our next guest on right now. I think it's a good time to bring him on.
Love to, Eric. Our next guest is a gentleman that just wrote a seminal article, which is probably the most comprehensive, well-explained summary on the serious situation facing building management and building automation. And this guy knows what he's talking about because he has a tremendous background in IT and then controls and building automation. He's a man with passion, processes, and we consider him a prophet. We welcome to the show Mr. Fred Gordy.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Ken and Eric. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you know, I think one of the things we have in common, Fred, is that, you know, we are both passionate about controls and the controls industry. And it seems like you've got your hooks into what Ken and I have been tracking for a while, which is cybersecurity and the fact that people are hacking through BAS systems and stuff like that. How did you get into that? Was there a defining event that got you interested in that?
Absolutely. Several years ago, and I'm sure most of all of the people watching this are familiar with the incident that happened with a particular vendor, and it involved DHS, and it kind of started this just firestorm of fallout. Well, coming from the IT world, I took a step back and said, okay, we have to face the fact that we have not been good stewards of security for building control systems. And so rather than pile on to the vendor, I felt like the approach that I needed to do, and as a community we needed to do, is turn the camera, so to speak, on ourselves and decide what is it that I'm not doing right. And so everything that I've posted and everything that I've written about has been what I call system integrator centric. So that that particular event has afforded me the opportunity to meet a lot of security professionals, but it's also just built a fire inside of me that I just want to spread the knowledge that I have, not saying that I am the expert, but you know, I am really passionate about getting the community, all of us, to be more security aware.
Well, and we really like that. I think the first step to anything is admit that you don't know that you know. And I got to tell you, you know, Ken and I've done controls for a long time, and dude, I tell you what, some of this terminology and everything, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's like a whole different language. I mean, now you know about this. I mean, you know controls guys and stuff like that. I mean, is it really that hard, or is it just a different language?
It is. It's a different language. And you know, the thing is, because of all these initiatives that have come out, IT departments are generating documentation. And this documentation is going out to the field guys, building engineers or field engineers, or it's going out to the SIs. And the problem is these are not things that, even though these guys are very astute, they know what they're doing, they have years and years of experience in the control industry, they have not had to deal with IT documentation and policies and that type of thing. So it's no reflection on them. And so let me give you just a real quick little story. I had a guy the other day call me up, building engineer, and he had a 30-page document that he wanted me to come fill out. And this, another awareness hit me. It just seems like every day in this quest that I'm on, I learn something new or find out where some lacking is. And with this guy, rather than go out and fill this out, which we'll talk about liability in a minute, because that would put you in a precarious situation, he needed to know what it was that he was looking at, what it was that he was filling out, because he's going to get this again. And so from that, and what my hope is, and you know, I want to thank Ken and Eric giving me this opportunity, is to share this knowledge, to help train the systems integrators, to help train the building engineers to know what it is that they're signing off on.
Well, Fred, that's good stuff. I read an article where there's 2.2 million SCADA systems and BACnet systems that could be affected. But in your own words, just how pervasive is the problem?
I think what you're referring to is the Shodan website.
Yeah.
And if you look into that, that's the number one devices found on the web. And so I would venture to say that most all of us that are in this community probably have one of our systems that's listed into Shodan. But Shodan wasn't started to be a bad thing, but it's turned into be a bad thing, because the bad guys can now look at your systems and find the ones that have the, you know, default username and password, so on and so forth.
This is serious stuff. I mean, it used to be, I mean, hey, who would have thought of hacking through a building automation control system? Like, who would have thought that the systems integrator could in any way, shape, or form be liable for it? But you were telling me off camera that you actually go to a couple of symposiums where there's a whole legal field going up around this. I mean, you're saying we're kind of right in the crosshairs now, right?
Yeah, we are. And the thing about it is this particular event that I went to, I was probably the only non-lawyer there. And one of the things that they ask a question at the beginning is they said, who has heard of the Target breach? And pretty much everybody in the room raised their hand. There was another company that they mentioned, Worldpay, and they asked who had all heard of that. And so I think there was one guy that may have raised his hand. And the speaker pointed out this, that he said, the reason that you haven't heard of that is because Worldpay had an incident response plan. And what I mean by that is, don't wait till something happens to decide what it is that you got to do. You need to take a look at your organization. You need to look at, you know, like a fire drill. What is it I'm going to do is if a breach occurs? Because the reality is, nobody uses in this term anymore of if I get a breach. It's when I get a breach. So now, coupled with the fact of, okay, now I've laid out this incident response plan. I know what I'm going to do. Well, now you need to take a look at your business and say, what are my core competencies? What is my insurance? What can it stand? What is it that I do well? And then start separating yourself from being network engineers. That's not what we are. And it's great if you do. If you have network engineers on staff and they you know, in your you have the insurance for that, that's great. But if you're not, you need to get out of that business because you're setting yourself right into the crosshairs of attorneys.
All right, Fred. So what should we do? What are the first steps, the building management systems operators, the facility managers? What are our first steps?
As a building engineer, take ownership of your building control system. System integrators typically have been the ones that administered your username and password. You need to take ownership away from the system integrator because it is your system, building engineer. The system integrators need to get all the old backdoor username and passwords out of the system. We have all done it. Let's just be honest with each other. We have that username and password that everybody that's ever worked for your company knows how to get in the system. If you just start with those two things, one third thing, let me add this, is get it off the web. Get it behind a firewall. If you do those three things, you're going to go way ahead of everybody else.
So, all right, Fred, listen, man, we're really thrilled with what you're doing here. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And you've agreed to come on and spend quite a bit of time on Control Trends. Tell us what some of the things you're going to be covering for our Control Trends community, what they can expect in the future.
Well, I got a couple of things. One of the ones is I'm going to talk about liability in a little more detail, but also some of the guys that I've gotten to know over the years of doing this. And again, let me state, I am not the know-all be-all here. I do not profess to be. But I have developed relationships with a lot of key professionals in this industry, and I'm going to have some of those guys join me on here.
Awesome.
And I would also want to make sure that you guys that are watching, submit a question. We'll take a look at it, and if I don't know the answer, I know people that do.
Fantastic. So Fred will be a periodic guest on Control Talk Now. You'll be coming back. We even talked about maybe doing some live training webinars and stuff like that. So if you do have a question for Fred regarding security, you can go to controltrends@gmail.com and say, I've got a question for Fred.
There you go.
All right, Kenny, there we have it. Fred Gordy.
Thank you very much, Fred.
Appreciate
you guys.
Coming back,
I appreciate
man.
It.
Take care.
Well, it was great to hear from Fred Gordy. Kenny, what was our next post?
Well, it's our final post, Eric. Like we had a pretty light menu this week. I'm sorry. It was Mark Goodman, Future Crimes. And we got this from our friend Brian Rose at London Real. We're big Brian Rose fans. He sends out one or two London Real posts every week. And he also does one from a different venue out in Los Angeles with global investing and stuff. But this followed in line with Fred Gordy to the point where we had to repost it. We had to repurpose this thing because this is about future crimes. Now, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I made my notes on this thing for the post, but we're really facing a new paradigm that requires us to basically, he says, we have to change our cognitive biases. Now, what he says is that back in the old days, he said crime is a very, it's an awesome industry for certain people that have a different perspective on life and don't think that laws are applied to them or whatever. They became bank robbers or robberies. You know, they'd go in, one guy would go to a bank and it'd be a one-on-one crime. And it was very successful, but the criminal, for all the risk they took, it wasn't a very good scale. He had to go out and rob somebody next week or whatever. So it's kind of like it's not humorous, but it's reality. This guy, Mark Goodman, was a police officer out of Los Angeles, went through the educational channels, went all the way, got a Harvard degree. Now he's a consultant and he's on Interpol. He's a recognized expert, and it's so incredibly informative. So the scale for these criminals would go from one-on-one, robbing a bank to robbing trains, because there's 200 people on a train. If you're going to expose yourself and risk, a life in jail or shoot out with the police, you might as well make it worth your while. Well, that same mentality goes all the way up into the most recent and largest hit when the 100 million customer accounts were accessed, when the bad guys were able to penetrate Sony's customer accounts and that information. But he said that, we don't get it yet. He said that modern people, we think we understand what's going on with IoT, but we really don't get it. He was saying that that the first cognitive bias you have to change is you think you're a customer. You're not a customer. You are a product that people are selling. Your information, your data, and your privacy are being sold as a product to the real customers. And if you don't understand that, you can't possibly understand the risk you take every time you minimize your your discipline for security, cybersecurity. But this just that's just the tip of the iceberg. You have to go and watch this. He's saying that crime is going to go into it's going to go into the IoT. So he's saying that what that means is it's not just you know, threats like in Mumbai where these hackers shut down a city of 20 million people had no utilities because these guys hacked in and shut Mumbai down for I think 3 days. Okay, he's talking about, you know, not just, you know, your identity being stolen and whatever. He's talking about 3D printing of AK-47 rifles. He's talking about taking over control of drones. He's asking these questions out loud because he thinks that if you don't get into this mindset and understand these breakthrough technologies have a consequence, a corollary effect, a negative effect. So all the robotics, all the artificial intelligence, all the contributions to the social data and synthetic biology, this is all going to be hacked at some point in time, or somebody's going to try to do it. So just really, really, you know, off, out of the envelope, out of the box type of thinking from a very, very intelligent guy. So and what he did was in this book, he's selling a book, it's this, he basically gathers his career, but right now he's looking at it from the perspective of his role that he plays in Interpol in France. So he's been training with police forces around the world, and the threat of cyber crime and terror has just got him so scared that he wrote a book, and he's now using different media forums to release this information, and we're going to repost it on Control Trends because we know it's that important.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny, London Real is the video cast that Brian Rose does, and you and I watch him a lot. Now, I haven't seen this particular one yet, but I'm definitely going to watch it. But he has incredible guests on, and so this is definitely worth checking out. I remember, Kenny, he had a guy on about a year ago, and we're talking about passwords and hacking in with the passwords and all, and this guy was with MI6 in England. And what he was saying, and you've said this, you've echoed this a bunch, and Fred Gordio echoes it, that that the biggest security breach is people personally, because you can change the passwords all day long, but if you make it too complicated, somebody's going to write it down someplace, and then they find where they wrote the password down, and they get in. This guy was talking about a technology that they have that they've been using in England, and I'm wondering if this would be a great technology to bring to the States, where basically what you do is you take an image, like a family portrait or whatever. So instead of a password, you just touch different parts of the picture because you'll always remember the picture. Maybe it's, you know, I'm going to touch my wife's nose, then I'm going to touch my ear, and then I'm going to touch the sun, and then I'm going to touch the beach or whatever. And they've proven that is a very, very difficult act. And you, as you've always said, they'll eventually figure out how to hack it. But what I'm getting at is this guy, Brian Rose, and London Real is a fascinating guy to listen to. This will be definitely worth checking out. I know Fred Gordy will be all over it. Maybe we'll get Mark Goodman on the show sometime to talk as well. But you're right. I tell you, everything. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, right? I mean, that's a law of physics, I believe. But, you know, you got to figure. And I love what you were saying about the fact that the bad guys think in terms of economies of scale. I mean, risk-reward, right? So you rob a bank, well, you got a big risk for a little reward or for a particular reward. You rob a train, same risk, bigger reward. Cybersecurity, same risk, or maybe even less risk, because you're not probably going to get shot if you're on a computer. You might get arrested. Huge potential reward. So great stuff, Kenny. We'll keep tracking this.
All right, Eric. That brings us that was our final post. So it was like
All right, Big Doug. Well, listen, how are you doing with the Red Bull? Is Red Bull, is it coming off of you a little bit there, the Red Bull?
I'm working it through the system. Yep.
All right, Big Doug.
No, I tell you, it's amazing now because coffee I mean, I love caffeine. I love coffee in the morning, but at night it doesn't do any good for the stomach. So the guy told me he said the best thing to do now is you buy the flavored water.
Yeah.
And you put caffeine packets in it. But let's cut this part. We don't need to talk about this on
the show. No. We're going to talk about it on the show, man. This is good stuff because people need to know how to stay caffeinated. Oh, my daughter who is working for a consulting firm now. I mean, they're all big into the water with the caffeine in it. That's the big deal. They're all into that. And there's a tea that you can get now that has caffeine in it. That's like five times as much caffeine, but it doesn't have the effect that coffee does on the intestines. So, Hey, just another tip from Control Trends. If you're going to caffeinate, do so responsibly.
Well, hey, okay, since you brought it up, then, and you're probably more involved in this than anybody know, what about the coffee and caffeine that Brian Rose uses on his show that's his primary endorser?
Well, this is kind of a cool thing. There's a guy called the Bulletproof Executive, Kenny, and that's who Brian Rose got it from. And this guy was like 800 pounds. I mean, he was really obese. He's a Silicon Valley executive, and you know, he basically just got so obese. And so, long story short, he started studying a lot about nutrition and exercise. But he's an efficiency guy, right? So he doesn't, you know, like his deal is he doesn't want to work out more than like 2 or 3 minutes a day. So you know, everything he does is based on efficiency. But he found out that he's got this thing called Bulletproof Coffee, and it's coffee apparently has a lot of mold and toxins in them. Or can. So, you know, that's where a lot of people have issues with coffee. So he's got this special coffee that he makes sure doesn't have the mold in it and all, it doesn't sit around and all. So that's phase one. So the Bulletproof Coffee, which is really good, by the way. It's very tasty. Then what you do is you take grass-fed butter, okay, which is a very high source of fat, but quality fat. And then you mix in coconut oil with the coffee. So you blend all those up together. Coconut oil is really great for the brain, gives you a lot of energy. And so basically he drinks a cup of that, and I've done it for a lot too. It's pretty phenomenal. It believe it or not, it tastes fantastic. It's real creamy, real rich. The coconut oil really gets your brain going, and then basically you're not hungry. I mean, you don't want to eat breakfast. Sometimes I don't even want to eat lunch. But don't look at me, I haven't been doing it in a while, so I've sort of gained some weight. But he lost a ton of weight doing that, and he's a lot more efficient doing that too. So, but Brian Rose talks about the Bulletproof Coffee, primarily because he's a sponsor of Brian Rose, but it's pretty good stuff. But you can hear about that on the London Reel as well. So with that, Kenny Smyers, I think we got another week done on Control Talk Now, the video cast. And for our podcast listeners, the podcast, I want to thank our guests, Mike Sackett, Jim Heyman from Controls Group North America, and Fred Gordy, our cybersecurity expert, the Red Hat, which we'll hear about more about later. And as always, I want to thank you, Kenny, and thank our listeners. So we really appreciate you guys touching base with us. So have a great week, and remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers.